Now, thank you very much for coming tonight. We give you a warm welcome. And on a night like this, a warm welcome is exactly what I need. That and a sweater, I think. Kind of cold and damp out there, but you'll be warm and dry in here. So thank you very, very much for coming. And I hope this meeting will be a help to you. That's what we're here for. We're not here just to preach because we're preachers. We preach the gospel because we want to help people. And the thing we want to help you with particularly is to help you understand how your sins can be forgiven and how you can know for sure that you have eternal life and a home in heaven. And so we don't have great ambitions of teaching you all kinds of things about this world. We want to teach you about how you can be in heaven. And so that's our goal tonight. And so before we open the Bible and talk from it, let's take a few minutes to speak to God. So we'll pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for these hymns that we have been singing together that have told us about the loving welcome that the Lord Jesus gives tonight to any who will come to Him. We remember His own words, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We thank Thee for every person here tonight that looks back to a time in their own experience when they came to the Lord Jesus and they found in Him exactly what they needed, both for this world and for the world to come. We do remember, Lord, that this hymn has warned us that there is a day when the invitation to come will be replaced with the awful words to depart. We pray, Lord, that there might be none that will ever hear the Lord Jesus say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And so, Lord, we do pray for help as we preach the gospel. Help, Lord, that in all that we say, that we might keep our eye and our mind and our thoughts centered on the Lord Jesus. He's the one who can save. He's the one who can forgive sins. He's the one who can bring eternal blessing tonight. And so, Lord, we ask for your help here. And we remember, Lord, that this isn't the only place that the gospel is being preached all around the world tonight. There are folks who are trying to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for your blessing on every honest effort and pray that this would be the night when many souls will come into the kingdom of God. These are our requests. We make them now and look to thee for blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you have a Bible, I'm going to challenge you a little bit tonight, okay? So if you boys and girls need to use the index or you need a little help, Mr. Tim and Miss Tracy are sitting right behind you and maybe they can help you. But I want to look at a verse in the Old Testament in the book of Amos. So that's not easy, but Amos is just about in the middle of your Bible. In my Bible, it's on page 935. That'll get you pretty close. The book of Amos. Everybody making some progress here? Good, Tim. Thank you. Have you boys found it yet? Okay, I'm very patient, and I want to make sure that everybody can find it and can see what we're going to do, because we're going to talk about one verse. We're actually going to talk about five words out of one verse. So I want you to have your Bible open and I want you to see it. If you can, Amos. And we're going to look at Amos and we're going to look at just one verse in chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 12, and I'm just going to read five words that are near the end of the verse, and it's my little message for tonight. It just says this. It says, "Prepare to meet your God." Prepare to meet your God. Now, this is a very, very important verse in the Bible. In fact, when we were a lot younger, Mr. Sharp and I both preached with a man, and I think that in every gospel series that I had with him, and I had quite a lot of them, he always spoke at least one night on this verse. That man came right here from Akron, Ohio, Mr. John Slabaugh, and this was a verse that he used very effectively, and I hope to do the same tonight. Here's what it says. It says, prepare, or get ready to meet your God. I want to spend my few minutes at the beginning of this meeting talking about the importance of thinking about and preparing about meeting God. Did anybody think about meeting God today? I know that some of you got up today and you thought about going to school and meeting your teacher. And some of you maybe thought about meeting your friends. Maybe some of you had an appointment after a doctor's appointment or something after school. And we all know that when we're going to meet someone, we need to prepare for it. If it's preparing to go to school, you need to make sure you got your books and your homework. And if it's preparing to go to the doctor, maybe, there's maybe certain things that you might prepare. But I think all of us, and I'm just going to put this in very simple language, we understand that we need to get ready for certain things. That's why before I get up to speak, I walk over to the men's room, the men's bathroom, and I make sure that all four of my hairs are all lined down, and I make sure that my tie is straight, and a couple other things I check on, and I have a reason for that. I want to be ready. When I stand up to speak, I don't want to have something that distracts you, have my tie over my shoulder, or something like that. I want to be ready to meet you, ready to talk to you. Well, this is what God wants us to do tonight. He wants us to be ready to meet Him. And I want to just take up some very simple thoughts about meeting God and the importance for every one of us. By the way, this might be a message for Christians too, because I think Christians ought to prepare and meet God just like everybody else should. But this is a gospel message tonight, and we're going to speak about this. Prepare. Get ready to meet your God. I thought about three or four things I just want to talk about very simply. And the first one is this. The first reason that we need to get ready to meet God is that we are going to meet Him. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, in this world, and, you know, who knows whether or not you're ever going to meet certain people. I don't know. Does anybody know the mayor of Fairlawn? Anybody here know the mayor of Fairlawn? A man named Mr. Roth. Anybody meet him today or talk to him today? You know, maybe you would. I don't know. He's probably around here somewhere. I suppose if I went and knocked on his door, I could meet him. Anybody here know the governor of Ohio, Mr. DeWine? Did anybody know him? No? What do you think the odds are of meeting him? Well, you might, I suppose. Maybe he'll march in a parade here on the 4th of July, or maybe come to something event that you have. You might meet him. How many people here think they're going to meet Mr. Trump, President of the United States? Well, the odds of that are really, really, really small. I happen to have met the President of the United States on four or five occasions, not this president, but other presidents, but that was because it had to do with my job. But the fact of the matter is you see, the more important a person becomes, the less likely it is that you're going to meet him. And you might meet the local policeman or the local fire chief, but the more you go up the ladder, the less likely it is that you're ever going to meet him. I want to tell you something shocking tonight. There's someone that's higher than the mayor, and somebody that's higher than the governor, and there's somebody that's higher than the president and the Supreme Court. And that being is God Himself. And here's the amazing thing I want to impress on every single person here tonight. We are all going to meet Him. Every one of us has an appointment, and we're going to keep that appointment. You know, there's some appointments that I don't really like. I don't necessarily, of course, this maybe isn't so true today, but when I was a little boy, dentists used picks and shovels, I think, and I didn't like going to the dentist. It was a painful thing, and everybody, you know, kind of, ooh, go to the dentist. Ooh, no. Well, I did go, so I'm thankful. And, you know, I still have all my teeth, which is a good thing. But the fact of the matter is that I think on more than one occasion, maybe, I found it inconvenient. And so I called up and I said, could I just delay that appointment? Could I just put off even seeing that? Or maybe there's somebody you just don't, you're not comfortable with. And so you go out of your way to avoid meeting them. Everybody look right up here and listen to me very carefully. Every single one of us is going to meet God. You know, I think that's why it's so popular to think about the fact that instead of being created by God, that we're just the product of evolution or blind chance, because it removes the possibility in people's thinking that they're going to meet God. The fact of the matter is, you can make up any idea you want. You can believe in any philosophy you want. You can believe in any religion that you want. The fact of the matter is that it just doesn't change anything. We are all going to meet Him. And so that's the first thing I want to talk about. It is absolutely inevitable. Every other appointment is subject to change. This is what the Bible says. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, we're going to meet Him, because there is going to be a judgment. So let me get that first point just very securely fastened in everybody's mind. Whatever you think about God, and whatever you think about what God does, let me just lay down this marker. You and I are going to meet Him. Now that ought to cause some serious thinking on the part of a lot of people. You know, when you come to meet me, if you were to come to my house, for example, my wife and I are very relaxed people, and there's some people here who know what our house is like, and we have a pretty good time, and, you know, you can come any way you want, and you can, you know, you can just come into our house, and you can relax there, and we have a pretty good time. You know, I want to tell you that meeting God is not exactly like meeting somebody that you know. God is a holy God. God is a being of incredible holiness. God is a being who cannot tolerate sin. You know, in my house, there's a lot of things I tolerate. I got a bunch of grandkids, and they run around. And Grandpa's a pretty tolerant guy. You know, just don't mess with my books, and everything is going to be okay. And, I choose to see some things, and other things, I just look the other way. I want to tell you something. There is a God in heaven who will not tolerate sin. He won't allow it in His house. And so if we're going to meet Him and we're going to be with Him if we want to, we're going to have our sins forgiven. We're going to have to be ready to meet Him. There's no looking the other way with God. There's no toleration of a little sin or a little disobedience. Preparing to meet God means we've got to have our sins taken care of, because to meet Him in our sins is to perish in hell for eternally. So that's the first thing, the absolute certainty that we're going to meet God. Here's the second thing. The reason that we need to get ready to meet God is because we're not naturally ready to meet Him. I suppose there's some people who think, well, you know, actually I'm a pretty nice person, and I've never robbed a bank, and I've never taken drugs, and I've never done anything particularly horrible, so I must be okay. I must just naturally be ready to meet God. Maybe I learned my Sunday school verses, and I come to some gospel meetings, and I do some right things, so I must be okay, I must be ready to meet God. You know what the problem is? The problem is that none of us are naturally ready to meet Him. I know that hurts some people's feelings, but, it's a good thing to just face reality. I had to change doctors recently. Have I told you this here? Yeah, I had to change doctors. I had a doctor I really liked. He's a nice man. He's my age. He's a Jewish man. And he actually reads his Bible. And so I was going in to see him, and for the first, 10 minutes, we talked about our grandkids and our family, talked about something else, I don't know. And then he'd ask me what I was preaching about, you know, and we'd argue about the ashes of the red heifer or something, you know, for 10 minutes. And then he'd walk out. He was done. I couldn't actually ever get to a point where I told him what my problem was. So he had a nice Russian lady. Well, he had a Russian lady in his practice, and I said, you know, I think I want to go see her instead of you. I never forget the first time I met the lady. I was sitting in the chair, and she apparently had been in another room reading over my file. She walked in, she slammed it down on the table, and she said, Mr. Shutt, you have a problem. I could have kissed her. I was so thankful to get somebody who wanted to deal with my problem, not just talk about my vacation. Listen, we haven't come here to insult anyone, but we have come to identify what our real problem is. And Mr. Sharp and I can talk about a lot of things, me especially. And it might all be interesting and fascinating, and you might go home and you've learned something about this or that. But the fact of the matter is, we need to deal with the realities of meeting God, the reality of our problem, and the reality of why we need to prepare to meet God. I can sum that up in one word, and that is, our problem is our sin. You know, if you were to read the New York Times today, or listen to Fox News, or whatever your particular misinformation of choice is, the fact of the matter is, you might conclude that there's a lot of things wrong with our world, and you would be right. And there are natural disasters that are happening. I didn't look up any before I came, but I can guarantee you that somewhere in the world tonight there's a natural disaster. And there are people in the world that are malnutrition. I'm not making fun of this. It's a reality. There are people who live in war zones. There are people who live where there is disease and all sorts of problems, but that's not the problem of our world. The problem of our world is one little three-letter word. It's our sin. Before sin came into the world, this is a beautiful place. And there weren't any natural disasters, and there weren't any wars or terrorism, and there wasn't any hunger. God took care of everything. But when sin came in, everything came off the rails. I want to tell you tonight, our problem is our sin. And I wish I knew a way to sugarcoat that. I don't. And so I'm like my Russian doctor. I'm just slapping the file down on the counter and saying, we've got a problem with sin. And that's why we need to prepare to meet God. We need to find out how our sins can be forgiven. Because without that, we're not ready to meet Him. And we surely will be sent away to judgment. I hope tonight that you will listen carefully to this idea about sin. You know, it would be a terrible thing to meet God unprepared. I was having supper, actually, with some friends of mine, people about my age, old people, and for some reason we started talking about dreams. You ever dream? Yeah, everybody dreams, I think. And we got talking about the kind of dreams we have, and it was very interesting. All of us shared one kind of dream. And I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I have no idea what any of this means, other than to say that all of us seem to have dreams about showing up somewhere unprepared. And when I was in school, I used to dream about showing up, and I couldn't find my homework, and I was thumbing through my backpack, and I wasn't ready to meet the teacher. And the fact is, probably because that happened in reality, I was dreaming about it. But the fact is, to this day, some of us still dream about showing up at school without our homework. And now I dream about showing up at Bible readings and I can't find Acts, you know. And we all dream about not being prepared. It's a phobia or a fear probably that all of us have. You know tonight what you ought to fear? You ought to fear meeting God unprepared. If you show up for school and you don't have your homework, you know, you'll just have to make it up. And if you show up for work and you don't have your tools, you might have to go home and get them. But I want to tell you, to show up unprepared to meet God is to perish for all eternity. That's a very serious, serious thing. And so I want to just point this out very clearly to you. It's not only that meeting God is inevitable, we will meet Him. But the problem is, we're not ready to meet Him because of our sin. Here's the third thing, and I want you to think about this very carefully. The third reason we need to prepare to meet God tonight is because we don't know when we're going to meet Him. My whole message revolves around something that Mr. Sharp said last night. He said, we're all going to meet Him. We just don't know when. I'm just going to repeat that again tonight. We're all going to meet God. We don't know when. You know, this summer, I took two funerals that I probably will never forget. One was a 91-year-old man. And I hope you'll understand what I say, and I hope everybody understands this. I'm being very respectful. It was a happy funeral. Jack knew the Lord. He got saved in World War II, flying a bomber over Japan. And he had led a very interesting and long Christian life. And I'm not saying that there weren't tears at the funeral. I mean, you all know what I mean by this, right? But he had lived a full life, and we were happy that he was in heaven, and he was happy that he was in heaven. And so the fact of the matter is, it was a very joyful funeral. 91 years old. A funeral I took 2 months ago was of a 19-year-old. You get that, 19 and 91? I didn't even think about that till afterwards. And even though it was a boy that's in heaven, he was saved. It was anything but a happy time. You know, listen, none of us have any guarantee of our next breath. There's no guarantee that Mr. Sharp is going to be here to preach tomorrow night. There's no guarantee that Mr. Sharp's going to be here tomorrow night. But I want to tell you something even more serious. There's no guarantee that you're going to be here tomorrow night. Absolutely none of us have any sense whatever of when we are going to step out of this little lifetime that we inhabit, and we're going to step out into eternity. You know, it's an amazing thing. We have so many blessings. There are doctors that can fix almost everything. And people now have come to expect a long, long, healthy life. Let me tell you something. That's a lovely thought. The problem is, none of us have any guarantee of that. And so I want to remind you, you need to prepare to meet God today. Because you might meet Him tonight. And so I want you all to think seriously about the urgency of being saved. This is what the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I can't tell you to come back tomorrow night and be saved. You know, there's a famous preacher, D.L. Moody. He preached in the city of Chicago. I just thought of this just now. I hadn't planned to say this, but you know what he told the people in the audience? Come back tomorrow night. And I'll tell you about how to be saved. That night, the Chicago fire happened. And many of those people in that room perished that night in the fire. Never a chance. Mr. Moody said, I will never preach like that again. Because he felt the burden that maybe he had misled those people. Well, Mr. Sharp, and I don't want to mislead you tonight. This is the time to be saved. Because we do not know when we're going to meet Him. Let me just touch on one more thing. And I'm not preaching a full gospel message. I'll let Mr. Sharp pick up the pieces that I'm leaving, but I want to leave these impressions on you. This is the last thing. To meet Him now would be the happiest moment in your life. You know, this is a funny thing, but I travel a lot. You know, preachers travel a lot. And even though I've been doing this for many, many years, there's still places I go that I've never been before. And I have to tell you, this may come as a shock to some of you, but I am really a shy person inside. I'm very comfortable among my friends and the people I know, and I don't act very shy sometimes, but I struggle meeting new people. I really do. And sometimes there's people that I've heard about them, and I think, oh, man, you know, how am I going to handle this, you know? And what's it going to be like? Are they going to be nice to me? Are they going to smile? Or are they, you know, going to kind of stand back and look down there? What's it going to be like to meet them?
and they wonder, you know, if I were just to come to the Lord Jesus, how would he treat me? You know, how would he receive me? Let me just say this so kindly. There was never a person that came to the Lord Jesus that he didn't treat with the greatest kindness. Whether it was the little babies, I love it. He was no politician like these boys up in Washington. He picked up little kids and held them in his arms. You know why? Not because he wanted votes. He wasn't running for anything. He picked them up because he loved them. And I think those were the happiest little babies. Is it okay to say this? I mean, this isn't theologically correct, but I don't think they cried. I don't think so. They were in the arms of the Lord Jesus. And there were people that came to him. Some of them were sick. Most of them felt their sin and the burden of it. And he just received them so kindly. He said, come to me. And when people responded and came to him, they never looked into a kinder face. They never heard a sweeter voice. They never felt a tenderer touch than when they came to the Lord Jesus. Prepare to meet thy God. Be ready to meet God. The way to be ready is to come to the Lord Jesus tonight. He's ready. He's willing. The children's chorus says, he's able to save you. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. So I hope you'll just remember, as Mr. Sharp preaches the gospel a little bit further, remember this little text, 5 words. Prepare to meet your God. Why? Because you will meet him. Number 2, you're not ready to meet him. Number 3, you don't know when you'll meet him. But prepare to meet him. Because if you come to him tonight, he'll be happy to see you. He'll be happy to receive you.